You're listening to Don's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And mate, despite three straight losses, you still got to like the effort the boys are showing, but we just went down against Port this week.
Yeah, I mean, the effort's there, James. Absolutely. So like that's the good side of it. And we're definitely seeing more tackling pressure. Like we had 60-odd tackles against Port. But our lack of polish with the footy, James, the continued fumbles, turnovers, they're really hurting us. So it's a bit of a lack of composure from some blokes. Yeah, younger guys, you kind of cop it. But unfortunately, what is happening, you know, with your senior players as well, that really does hurt you. So that's disappointing. So, yeah, there's kind of the Jekyll and Hyde from this game.
Yeah, there was some really positive ways to look at it. And then, yeah, as you say, disappointing. And then there's the opinion that although we lost by 5 points, with Port kicking 20 behinds.
Yeah.
There's also a feeling like, well, you know, that could have been a 5 to 10 goal loss if they had their kicking boot on.
Yeah, at a minimum.
Yeah, so we were just trying to, as Brad Scott said, we had the finger in the dike, and obviously that was really heightened after Jordan Ridley was subbed out of the game after a nick from Junior Rioli.
Yeah, that's right. It was a an errant hand, like he's just thrown it back, and unfortunately he's copped Ridley on the chin. Now it looks like he'll be cited for I can't remember what they call it.
It's gone straight to the tribunal.
Yeah, whether it's accidental or whatever, but severe.
Yeah, it was under careless severe.
Yeah, that's it. So yeah, looking at 3 to 4 weeks, and you'd imagine it'd be on the lower side of that, given it was a careless action. It's not like he sort of turned around and looked for him. For us, the damage was pretty severe, losing Ridley for the game. Because that, as you say, Jane, that really hurt us. Ridley was playing really well up to that point, and was making a fair difference back there, and we certainly missed him when he had to go off.
No, we did, because it meant we had to throw Langford back. And, I know he's been a Mr. Fix-It, but, it's a very careless act. Disappointingly, though, apparently the keyboard warriors got onto Twitter and other accounts and have really used the racism, or that's what's been claimed, going towards Junior Rioli. And, Port Adelaide have issued a statement saying they condemn the fans that have done that. And obviously, there's no excuse for that, but there was going to be people angry about it. Was largely off the ball, mate. It was a long way off the ball. And it had a direct impact, I think, on the result. Well, I think if Ridley plays, there's a fair chance we win that game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of see it a bit differently. Like, yes, it had an impact, but I still think, Port with a better side on the day, like just the sheer amount of entry. So, it did make a big difference. And absolutely, Jane, anyone, using an incident like this, as an excuse for racism or whatever, need to have a good look at themselves. It's pretty sad, getting a fair way through into the 21st century, Jane, and there's still, racism like that. I mean, we've seen it with Rioli, but it's obviously not just him. It's happened several times throughout the season. It's not good enough. So whether you like or dislike Rioli, on his merits, you can do it against the action or whatever, but to go against the Aboriginal or Indigenous guys purely for the race or whatever you think about them is it's just not on.
Yeah, and look, as you said, mate, you can be angry at the action. And look, this came out in the Collingwood-Sydney game. Collingwood fans, as they do, were booing Lance Franklin.
How dare they boo a champion, Jim?
Well, that's right. They've got short memories. But having said that, Lance Franklin gives you a lot of reasons to boo him at times, just with some of his actions.
Yep.
I don't find booing as such the worst thing in the world. It's only bad when you start saying, I'm booing you, or I'm partly booing you because of your race. That's where it's not a thing. But if a player does something against your team, our only response can be to boo. Like, we can't go and talk to them and say, "Yeah, we're not happy with that." You know, that's our voice. Yeah. I think I've heard people want to get booing out of the. Well, good luck with that. You know, it's not. That's been in the game for a long, long time, and probably since it's been played, mate. Yeah. I don't think the act of booing is anything to be. Look down on. It's more, if you go that step further and use it to go against someone's, race. We don't have it as much as footy, or it's not publicly declared, but, sexuality and all these kind of things. Things you can't change of that person, like that's who they are. You shouldn't boo them for that, but for an action, I don't mind it as such, but I probably don't want to sound like we're the political party for the Essendon Football Club, but we'll probably get off that topic. But I mean, that was just a few of my thoughts directly after that incident. But
fair enough.
We'll move on. Now, mate, we've lost the three in a row now. There's still positives to be found, but gee, it gets harder. There's reports that Zach Reed has done a hamstring.
Yeah.
In yesterday's game and playing for the VFL, right on the verge of selection, he was actually named in the, the extended bench. Wasn't chosen. So he played in the VFL, and fortunately, that's where he suffered his hamstring injury. And we've learned that Harrison Jones has a back injury that'll put him out short to medium term. So that's a disappointing one as well, because both those boys need to get out in the park more often.
Yeah, absolutely, Dan. Yeah, pretty disappointing. And you feel bad for both blokes there. Both of them need, senior footy under their belts. Fortunately, Harrison Jones has played a few games this year, but he definitely needs to be fit and firing. And as for Zach Reed, like the poor bloke, he's played a couple of games, if that, and just can't get right for whatever reason, whether it's the the hammy now, was the they're sort of, what do they call them, the fractures, the back earlier,
stress fracture, yeah,
stress fractures, and then he had the fever just after that tumultuous Brisbane game. So the poor bastard, he's not been the footy guards. Buddy Gordon's haven't looked kindly upon him, for whatever reason. And as for, I suppose what it means broadly for us is, like, we are bereft of a lot of blokes who need opportunity, being able to get games. So pretty tough times.
It is. Let's go straight into the game, mate. And gee, we started well, and after last week's performance against Geelong, where we were just. Yeah, I think it was 38-0 at one stage. It was important to start well, and we did get a good start.
Certainly did, mate. Kyle Langford outmarking. I forgot his name for the time being, Jane.
Alia,
that's it. Which was really great work. He was really dragging him out of that forward line towards the arcs, if you will, Jane. That way, he wasn't able to direct traffic as Alia likes to do. Had to go with Kyle, and he was able to outmark him and go back and kick a really nice goal on that occasion. It's great start. And then we saw Sam Wiedemann not too long after bob up and kick one.
And that was from a very good pass from Langford, I think. that one. So again, Langford was causing him some trouble, and you know, Wiedemann, that was a nice kick. You know, certainly wasn't a gimme, and it was great how he navigated that and got it. And like a fair portion of the game had gone before Port finally got on the scoreboard with a goal to Darcy Burne-Jones.
Yeah, which is a bit disappointing because we, you know, we seem to have a bit of momentum that quarter, and you know, we're really cracking in and winning the stoppages. So that one sort of went against the flow a bit. But fortunately, we wrestled the next one back, and Archie Perkins was able to bob up for a classy goal.
Yeah, he's known for that now, isn't it? Like, he's capable of kicking some very nice goals, and we saw a couple of them on the day.
Certainly did. Unfortunately, went up the other end, and McKinty for Port kicked one. And then we saw Jai Caldwell take a mark in the pocket. Now, he'd been a bit so-so with his goal-kicking game. Like, he kicked a couple of beauties a few weeks ago now. And then his kicking foot has been a bit inaccurate. But fortunately for us, he was able to steer this one through around the corner.
Yeah, and the mark itself was quite a strong mark. Wiedemann was coming hard, and so was, who's the Port Adelaide captain, Jonas, I think. Were coming very hard. And Jai kind of was a bit oblivious to that, stood in front of the both of them and took a very strong mark. And, it certainly wasn't an easy goal. And, he put it through. And, one thing's for sure, we were kicking straight.
That's it, mate, which is great to see. Fortunately for us, Port weren't. They took it down their end for a couple of opportunities. You saw Hall and Francis and Burne-Jones have shots and both missed. But unfortunately, they kept peppering it in, and Junior Rioli was able to pop one through, which is a bit disappointing. But then we kicked into gear, Jane, and Anthony McDonald Tippenwoody was able to get one out the back and stroll in for a nice goal.
Yeah, that was great to see Tipper get on the scoreboard. And, he was looking a bit lively, I thought.
Certainly was. Continuing that excitement, we saw Ben Hobbs, stroll through into the 50. And I really liked how he took the responsibility of taking that shot, Jamie. And from about 40 metres out or so, just bloody dobbed it. Great to see.
Yeah, it was great to see Sam Draper come out of the ruck there and got an ungainly kind of handball. But, Hobbs got it and, assessed the situation and, as you said, took the responsibility and kicked the nice goal.
Yeah, it was great to see. Now, we saw Port have a couple more shots but fortunately missed. So at the end of that quarter, we were up by 15. So 6-1, 37 to their 3-4, 22. And, you just thought it was a really, pretty dominant quarter for us, Jane. You sort of thought, oh, geez, if we can keep this up, we're in with a shot.
Yeah, exactly. And as the second term started, all signs were pointing in the right direction when Cole Langford kicked his second goal.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm pretty sure it was Dylan Shealy who spotted him for this one, Jane. He actually lowered the odds and hit him with a beautiful pass, probably about 35, 40 metres out and a little bit of an angle. And Langford was good enough to go back and dob it. So it was great play. But then up the other end, we saw Todd Marshall taking a bit of a slips catch about 40 metres out or so, and he was good enough to kick the goal, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was a very nice goal, and he's a good kick of the footy, and I think one of the commentators said he's, if you wanted him to kick for your life, that's the player you'd choose. So, he proved that. And then Port continued to attack for most of that quarter.
They did, mate. We saw misses to Powell Pepper and Finlayson, but they were pushing. But fortunately, we were able to arrest momentum for a bit when Sam Wiedemann wobbed up for his second.
Yeah, great to see Sam. Basically, when you think about it, that was 7 goals in the last, 6 quarters for him. He kicked 5 last week and 2 early in this game. So, Sam was looking very dangerous and had Port looking over their shoulders.
He certainly did, mate. And he'd be taking a few marks up the ground as well. So he's getting mobile, which is really good to see. Unfortunately, though, Port kept coming. We saw another goal to Burne-Jones. before Dixon had a shot. Luckily, he missed before Zach Merritt came in and kicked a real captain's goal.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he didn't hit it as well as he'd like, but it's always great to see Zach kicking goals. And again, he took responsibility having that shot and kind of needed it because Port were dominating the play, but we were making the most of our opportunities.
We were, mate. We let Port back in, though, when they had a few more shots at goal. But fortunately, Houston and Boak missed. And at the end of the half, we're up by the 14 points. So 9-1, 55 to their 5-11. And you can just see, like, there was another 8 scoring shots to end that quarter to our 3. Fortunately, we were kicking straight, whereas they weren't. And that's what was keeping us in the game.
Yeah, well, when you think about it, we kicked 3 goals straight. And what did they kick, mate? It was like
they kicked out 2 goals 7 even.
Yeah, so there's a massive difference in accuracy, and even like that halftime score of 9-1 was massive. And you kind of thought we've got to turn the table here because although we had a lead of 14 points. You just knew if they kept getting the amount of opportunities they had, eventually they'd get the radar right.
Yeah. And that they did, James, because they kept peppering. And this was the quarter that broke us, I thought. After a couple of, siders to Dixon and Bonner, we saw Powell Pepper got on the scoreboard. And I thought we'd kept him pretty quiet until then. But as what always happens, James, you can keep people quiet, but as soon as you give them a sniff, they're straight back in. We're able to, get on the scoreboard through Jake Stringer, which is great for his first. But unfortunately, it was all Port from there. You saw Finlayson, kick his third behind. Yeah, luckily he didn't have the kicking boots on before Boak kicked one through. We saw a behind to Marshall before Dixon kicked 2 in a row. And I think at that stage, we'd lost Ridley, and our structure down back was really suffering as a result. And try as he might, Zerk Thatcher, you can't contain him one-on-one when he was getting pretty good service, you'd have to say, Jane. So kicking those 2 goals in a row, of course, got the Port fans up and about. I do have to say, though, Jane, that quarter in particular, I thought the umpires were, if not, motivated by the fans in one way or another, we certainly weren't getting much luck with them in terms of tackles. And it kind of boggles my mind, not for the fact that, they weren't giving frees to us or whatever, but, the last few weeks, the flavour of the month has been, about tackling and, the sling tackle and all the rest of it. But we had, blokes dead to rights. And we were trying to tackle them fairly, which I thought we were doing, but just weren't getting the reward. And I think that's where you get a lot of that slinging motion when the person is, still standing up in a tackle. The umps didn't seem to be blowing the whistle for that. So I think it's kind of a dangerous precedent when the tackler isn't being rewarded. That's just my 2 cents.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And to add further to that, at last match press conference for Ken Hinckley, he said, I don't know what it is with the umpiring. We must be doing something wrong. We're not getting rewarded for tackling, and we're minus 20 free kicks for tackling. He was very specific in that. Find it amusing almost that umpires seem to be influenced. So it's like, obviously there was a conversation had at umpiring, training or whatever it is they do in their feedback, and it seems it's been applied. And certainly they were looked after, and there was a number of times we tackled legally and weren't paid the free kick.
But look, we did get the ball back for a bit, and we saw Zach Merritt, just miss one. Like, that would have been a real handy one to get. Luckily, Jai Menzies was able to get on the scoreboard, which is good. Sam Wiedemann kicked another behind. I think that one hit the post. James.
That was right on nearly the siren.
And those ones, like, when they're coming so hard at you, like, they've kicked 4-5 for that quarter, James, alone. So they took back the lead. And those missed opportunities, that meant, you know, we go into three-quarter time down as opposed to us maintaining a lead. Like, it's just a bit of a psychological advantage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the three-quarter time, like, they'd overtaken us. 9 goals, 16-70 to our 11 goals, 3. So, yep, again, we've kicked straight, which was keeping us in the game. But missing those opportunities really hurt. So I think that's a big area of development for us, as it seems to be every year.
Yeah, for sure. We did trail, but one man put us back in front, named Archie Perkins.
Yeah, I thought he was showing a bit of class in this game, James. Like, he's just so strong through the hips, and when he does get the footy, he looks a real damaging player. I think his next, I suppose, evolution as a player will be getting more of that footy, and that'll come if he's given more midfield opportunities and that kind of thing. But I thought, he was pretty effective when he got the ball in hand and to kick that through. And he does seem to, like, he is the kind of player that takes his chances, which I love to see, and it's great to see him slot one. Unfortunately, we saw Jake Stringer miss a shot. I mean, he was it would have been an RC opportunity. But, we've seen kick those ones before. Like, it was on the outside of the foot. And, it looks good up until it went for a behind. But unfortunately, that's where Jeremy Finlayson was able to hit that goal to even things up. And, he's a bit of a downhill skier, I reckon, James Finlayson. Mm. He loves to bully blokes, when he knows he's the bigger bloke there. Mm. And I think we really miss a bloke like Laverty to sit him on his ass and let him know what's what. I think with that kind of player, Finlayson doesn't get his lippy. Then we saw Sammy Draper. Like, he was really trying to use his energy and ferocity to get the ball forward for us. Like, he was doing clearances a number of times, and he had a ping for goal, which unfortunately missed. Again, would have been handy before Port had another couple of cracks they sort of broke us a bit there. First with that goal to Rosie, but secondly, that goal to Junior Rioli. I thought that was the one that, you could just kind of sense, we dropped our heads a bit.
It did feel like the tsunami was coming again, and it felt a bit similar to the Collingwood game where, held the lead for, a lot of the game, but, the opposition was coming and we weren't able to, put any dampener on that.
That's it, James. But, like, I will say, a bit of maturity. We did, keep firing it out. We saw Jakey Stringer kick another goal, which is great to see. Kyle Langford had a ping but wasn't able to put it through. Rioli then had a couple of shots for goal but fortunately missed both before Andrew Phillips decided to try and make an impact on the game. Like, he'd taken a big mark up the ground, and then he'd taken a mark just on 50 out, James. And the clock was ticking down, and I thought, bloody hell, hurry up and kick it, mate. Like, because even if he kicked it, it would have been like scores drawn.
Yeah. I just didn't think he had the distance, and that proved to be right.
Mm.
But we watch these players regularly.
Yeah.
You kind of have a feel who can kick a ball, that kind of distance.
Yep.
It's a bit like, I don't know if you remember a few years ago, mate, Devin Smith was the same.
Stop yelling at me, Devin.
No, but he was kicking the goal from,
around
the 50-metre mark. And Devin's going to struggle with that kind of distance.
Yep.
And that's the kind of feeling I had with Andrew Phillips.
Mm.
And I thought he just ate too much of the clock up.
Yep.
As you said, if you think you can kick it, it'll be good. But, I haven't seen him do that, kick from outside 50 with any conviction before.
Mm.
I was a bit disappointed. I was watching that. Usually I'd wait for a Redman or someone to run past with a handball.
Yeah,
that didn't seem to present. I'm sure the opposition tried to stop that, but I didn't even see the effort of the players being aware that hey, this guy might not be able to kick the distance.
I think that's a lack of game awareness. But look, in any case, he only scored the behind, and And that was the story, Jame. So we ended up losing by the 5 points, as you said before. So they're 12 goals, 20-92, to our 13 goals, 9-87. And I think, we've lost by the 5 points. But as you sort of indicated earlier, that wasn't the story of the game. Like they had 65 inside 50s to our 47, Jame. So we're getting there like far more than we were. And, they were going at basically the same level of efficiency, and they actually like they were going a bit more efficient actually getting those scoring opportunities. So I think there's that side of it, but also we keep like we did well in the center clearances, Jane, but the stoppage clearances is that area like around the ground we seem to get killed, and certainly like that third quarter in particular, Jane. They just went to another level, and we weren't able to match them, which was a bit sort of disappointing. And we've had the 71 turnovers to their 59, so we're coughing the ball up quite a lot. But the big one I want to sort of point out is like marks. Like they had 101 to our 73, so a lot more controlled football. And yes, we were giving them a few marks up the ground, but it's not like we were hemming them in. Like we saw at the start of the season, we were able to almost stop sides from progressing the ball up forward because they just didn't have targets to hit, whereas we just seemed to be a bit loose, and target like Port were able to effectively move the ball up at will at times. But out of those marks, the biggest one is contested marking. Port had 22 contested marks to our 7. So real dominance there, Jane. And you kind of think that's a massive area of concern for us, our contested marking ability. And yes, we've got young players, but so do Port. So plenty of work for us to do. And I think really the 5 points for mine kind of flattered us in the end. But we were still in with a shot, but just weren't able to get it home.
Yeah, well, it's disappointing to lose, and I guess going on a streak of losses now with 3, and let's face it, Brisbane in Brisbane, it's very likely will be 4 losses in a row.
Yeah.
But after that, mate, there's a little bit of games that we should be able to win, and if I said to you at the start of the year we'll be 7-5. Would you have taken that after 12 rounds?
Yeah, bloody oath.
Yeah, because I think we can beat Richmond the way that they're playing at the moment. Having said that, we haven't beaten Richmond for 8 years or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think we can beat Richmond. I think we'll beat North. And I think we'll beat West Coast and West Coast. So I know we should have won last year. But I think our coaching's been significantly upgraded.
Yeah.
I think we'll probably lose next week and have those next 3 wins. And, 7-5, and we've protected our percentage in these losses, it should be said. We lost, I think, 12 points to Collingwood. You lose by 28 to Geelong, which is our biggest loss, and then just 5 points to Port. So, our losses have been, even against St Kilda when they jumped us, mate, that was only an 18-point loss. So we've been able to defend percentage when we lose. I think at the start of the year, both of us had the Bombers out of the 8.
Yeah.
And very much a development year. And that's probably going to be what happens. But I've been impressed considering we've got a number of players that were key to us, like our best and fairest winner in Peter Wright. We all know our troubles down back. Now with Laverty and Ridley will miss this week. And so not everything's gone right for us, but I've kind of enjoyed the footy, even our losses, like it's shown that, as Brad Scott says in his presses, and I use his presses a lot because he's so truthful and insightful. He knows we're going to get better. There's definitely areas of improvement, but there's a lot to like as well.
There is, Jane. Like, and as disappointed as we are, we do see progress, particularly of players like Caldwell and You see the value a player like Setterfield brings to the side, and no, like they didn't star on the day, but I thought they still played solid roles. But you do see like areas, yeah, particularly down back, where we're really lacking in experience and height as well. We unfortunately we just seem to keep getting injuries to key players. You imagine our side with Peter Wright in, with Laverty, with Ridley being able to play the full match. The list goes on. And look, another big thing I will say is, we've been upshowed for disposal efficiency and I suppose our ability to work through systems at times. The ferocity with which some teams have come at us with, but their effort has always been there, I think. Previously we'd have sort of lamented the amount of passengers we've had in games. Yes, we've had a few this year, but generally it's been from younger, more inexperienced players where you can see the talent there. They just do need more experience to, I suppose, have the confidence to stand up when the fire really gets hot. Effectively what I'm saying is like the effort's there. I think everyone's buying into Brad Scott and his system that he's bringing in. Certainly we just need more experience and the development I think is showing, and more is definitely on the cards. And as you say, Jane, with Brad Scott's presses, they're a lot more insightful than the wishy-washy comments we'd get from previous coaches.
Yeah, for sure. And a little bit of direct feedback to the fans as well, which is great.
Yep.
All right, well, let's have a break. We'll come back with our votes. And I've got a question that came from one of our one of the comments from Bomber Blitz regarding the votes, mate. So we'll have a break and come back to that. And you're listening to Don's Cast. As we go into the Don's Cast medal votes, before we start, mate, there was a comment on Bomber Blitz regarding the way we do or way we position our voting.
Mm-hmm.
This is easily the first thing off the second segment when we start. This came from Rookie, and Rookie said, have you guys ever thought about moving it to have it incorporated with the by the numbers segment? So firstly, I know I haven't spoken to you before prior to this, mate. What do you think about that? Is that something we could trial, or because I guess the comment is surrounding when we go by the numbers, we sometimes just skip over players because we've already given votes.
Yep.
I reckon it's a
fair call, Jay, a fair question. I reckon we can give it a crack. It's sort of funny because I did I saw the comment during the week.
Oh, you saw it, yep.
Yeah, and I did have to have a little chuckle, not at the question, but just that it's you're the experts, and I thought, we are absolutely not that. We're just putting forward our opinions as subjective and what as they are. So I think it's a fair question, and I can see merit in it. So I think it's worth a crack, and it's good to get feedback, James. Thanks for that, Rookie. It's good to actually get some engagement to see different ways of doing things, because we're certainly open to it. I mean, we're happy banging on as is, but if there's better ways of doing things or people get more out of if we try something else, I reckon we can give it a crack.
All right, well, let's give that a crack next week. We'll go with our current format at the moment, because obviously This was a bit. I've got you in the last moment telling about this, but all right, let's go with the votes. You always lead us off, so off you go.
Beautiful. Well, yeah, this is a bit of a tough one, really, because there weren't many that really stood out, I'd have to say, Jane. But for the one vote, I actually went for Big Sammy Draper. I thought, when things were going against us, he at least was giving his all to try and give us that energy and enthusiasm. And look, while he's not 100% effective all the time, you appreciate what he does in there. And I think, you know, really, he's just such a, he can be such a barometer for us, Jane. We miss him if he's not giving us that energy. And like to see him lay a few tackles, have four clearances, have a goal assist, and nearly score one himself, I thought was worthy of a vote. I would have liked to see a few more marks from the big man, but had a couple of them, which is a good start. For the two votes, I went Jakey Stringer. I thought particularly early, he was doing a lot of the grunt work, Jane. Got the 18 disposals, but of those, I think he had something like 11 contested of that, which is great to see. Had eight score involvements and six clearances, which is a pretty bloody good effort from the bloke to back up his efforts from last week. So I thought he was worthy of a couple of votes there to go with his two goals. Kyle Langford, I went the three votes. In particular, his marking power had the 10 marks across the day. And we know that was both forward when he's been able to kick a couple of goals and have three goal assists, which was huge. But he also had to get thrown back, where he was able to do a fair bit of work there. And he actually played 100% of game time, Jane, which I think is real credit to the work he's done over pre-seasons and to get his body right. So, three votes there to Langford. Four votes, I went to Merritt. Now, look, I can see why people might not have given him votes because he actually butchered the footy a bit. Only went at 50% disposal efficiency, which is subpar, not only for Merritt himself, but of anyone's sort of disposals. But I thought his effort to be involved in the game, both defensively and offensively, was really, really good. Had 11 score involvements and three intercept positions to go with 10 tackles, Jane, which I thought was really good. So I thought worthy of four votes there. But for the five, I had to go Darcy Parrish. Look, again, I don't think he was brilliant with ball in hand at all times. Only went slightly higher than Zach Merritt, really, at about 60% disposal efficiency. But just his grunt work, had 22 contested possessions, Jane. So he really does the hard stuff there. And, even had the five tackles to his name to go with his nine clearances. So I thought it was a really good game from Darcy Parrish. Yes, can polish up his disposals, but I thought his effort was unquestionable. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
Very similar. Same five players, actually. I gave five to Parrish. I thought he was very good, especially in the contest, around the ball. And he was usually the first one to fire out a handball whilst collecting the footy. So I gave Parrish the five. I gave four to Merritt. Just for his efforts, mate, 10 tackles, and that's something he's really added to his game. And, yes, we would have loved him to use the footy a bit more, and he had another opportunity to kick a second goal, and that went begging. But, a lot to like, and I really like this two-way element of his game now, which used to be very much offensive. He now really is working defensively, so I wanted to reward him for that. I gave three to Draper. I actually really loved his game. He won a number of taps, but they were with conviction, like straight down to our players. And, his effort's always there. It's almost like steamrolls whoever's in his way. Mm-hmm. So I liked his game. Two votes to Langford. Just, it was everywhere, really, and had to be because of our Ridley going down with an injury. you know, kick a couple of goals, and you know, just so important to us now. And you know, last year we really missed him when he had that long-term hamstring injury, that tendon injury. Great to have him all year this year so far. And yeah, we'd be in a lot of trouble, mate, if he wasn't playing as well. So I wanted to give him one, and I gave him two, and I gave one to Stringer, and he didn't have as much of the footy this game, but still had a number of clearances, six, I think he said, and kicked a couple of goals and nearly won right out of his backside, that one that was, you know, bending, and it looked like it was going to go through, mate. And I was just thinking when I was watching it, how did he kick that? You know, it didn't seem logical from where he was. A lot of things Jake does isn't logical, but I thought I really liked his game also. So, well, where are we at with our Don's Cast medal votes?
Yeah, well, let's tally him up. So, going from the bottom, so we've got Zerk Thatcher on 2, Phillips on 3, Caldwell on 4, Perkins on 5, Draper 6, Setterfield on 7, Wiedemann on 8, Martin on 11, Kelly on 12. Merritt and Ridley on 17 apiece, Scheel on 18, McGrath on 19, Stringer on 21, Langford on 23, Redmond drops to second on 32, and now out in front, James, is Darcy Parrish with 35 Doncaster medal votes.
That's great. And where was Merritt, sorry? Well, how many votes has he got?
Merritt's got 17.
17, yeah. So that's probably surprising to some. Because I was thinking, oh, Merritt must be up around the second or third mark. But, yeah, he's a little bit behind. But I think because he's got such high standards too, mate. And, yeah, probably he isn't using the footy this year as well as he used to, well, in my opinion. But, yeah, he's certainly defensively a much better player. So, yeah, I can see Merritt coming home with a wet sail too, mate, once he straightens up that leg.
Absolutely.
All right, mate, now quickly go through the our scores of our VFL women team. They had another win, mate. I think that's 4 in a row. They beat the Southern Saints, which, you know, low-scoring game. I think it was like 2-12 or something like that. And they got up over the Saints. And, yeah, to win 4 in a row was really good, because it looked like we were a little bit Yeah, we had a poor start to the year. They've really recovered well.
Yeah, they have, Jamie. And that shows real maturity, doesn't it? Because if you start, not in the best way, it'd be pretty easy to drop your head, and particularly with their shortened seasons, kind of think, we've stuffed it. But they've stuck to it and performed really well. And to get those 4 victories is it's excellent. It must be giving them real confidence that, you know, they might even be able to back it up this year. Who knows? But, it's just great to see the ladies, just stick fat and, get another W.
Yeah, and as I said, mate, it's a totally different side to last year. You know, so it wasn't going to be, even if we did go to back-to-back, it would be with a totally different team, really, because a lot of the key players that were there last year aren't this year.
Yep.
They've really found their feet, which is great. And unfortunately, our VFL men's team, they went down, mate, after having a good start. Unfortunately, we lost that game, I think, to Werribee.
Yeah, unfortunate, Jame. And, to literally add injury to insult, to lose Zach Reed from that is real sore one for us. I did hear though that Rhett Montgomery played a decent game, Jame, and with the likes of Ridley out and Laverty out still, who knows, he might be getting a call up sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and I believe Baldwin played quite well. Was swung forward as well and kicked a couple of goals. But we know he spent a lot of the preseason playing down back. So, I think it's a Monty that if he doesn't get injured this week, Baldwin will be in the side. And he's a player that promises a lot, mate. We kind of picked him up after he's done 2 knees.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he was highly talented. You know, he was going to be a top five draft pick, they said, and those knee injuries really quelled those. And, you know, there's a bit of a watch. You know, if you can get that agility, he could be a real player for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I think he's, like, in terms of project players, he's exactly the type you kind of want. And you see how hard he works behind the scenes, Jane. Like, even just to get his body right after that first year. And yes, he's looks a bit shy of the mark when he's come up to the AFL. But I think those ones are good tasters for him to go, okay, well, look, here I am performing decently at VFL level, but there's a totally different level to get the AFL. And look, at the end of the day, he might not make it, but I think he's exactly the type of bloke to get every inch of sort of talent out of himself. And he's a strapping young lad, Jane. Like, I think he's still only 19 or 20 years old, and he's freaking huge. Like, not height wise, but he's a strong boy. So I reckon if he can continue to get his body right, get a bit more confidence in it, and a bit more experience to, I suppose, use that body to best effect, I reckon there could be a real play there.
Yeah, well, let's watch with interest, because I think we'll definitely get another look at him this week. I just can't see him not being named, as I said, unless he's injured, which is always a possibility. Lastly, mate, before we go to our now last break, there was a stat brought up on, I think it's, what is it, on the couch, a few stats, and it said where Essendon has improved this year. Now, points for in 2022, we were ranked 12th. This year, we're ranked 4th at the moment. Points from turnover differential, last year was 16th. Mm-hmm. This year, we're 4th overall. And accuracy, we were 16th last year, and we're 4th this year. Obviously, the scores on the weekend helped us there.
Mm.
Now, where Essendon can still improve, this is a bit damning, mate, and you know, we're last in one of these categories. And it probably tells us why where we need to improve, as they said. So points against, last year we were 16th in the competition.
Mm.
This year we're 14th. So, you know, we are letting the opposition score. Even though we're scoring well, we're not having big wins because we're allowing the opposition to score just as heavy as us, really. Defensive and our defensive mechanisms obviously could be improved. Now, this is the damning one, mate. Defending ball movement. Last year was 17th in the competition. This year, we're dead last on 18th. Mm-hmm. So that means we can't stop the opposition when they're moving up the field and so forth. You know, we need a behind or something like that to get the ball back off them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know how that gets improved. Obviously, the coaches would be aware, but there's a lot of improvement there in that issue. And the last one is pressure. So in 2022, we were 18th in the competition for pressure. And this year we're 17th. So, yeah, that pressure and defending the ball movement is leading to points against. And all three of those are entwined if you think about it. And that's where our improvement will come, when we can start to adjust and, you know, be able to disrupt the opposition better than what we're doing at the moment.
Yeah, I kind of think of those stats though, and think, well, look, really we've played what, four or five of the top teams this year, James. So like Melbourne, Port, Geelong, Collingwood, Saints. So top teams who can really cut you up. If you allow them to, I think. You know, we showed some really great pressure those first few games. Where we've dropped off is when you've got teams with more senior bodies, more experience, that don't allow, blokes like, a Davey or a Menzies to tackle and harass as easy as they might, because you quickly saw, Jane, that when the whips get cracking and blokes really start to go for that footy, and they're young players and they'll develop. But I did think, those two blokes in particular, had a lack of desire for the top contest, Jane. And look, I don't mean that to sound like I'm potting them. It's it's very easy, for me on the couch to say that. But I think, given a bit more experience, given a couple more seasons in the gym, like they'll be able to back themselves, and they need development in that that environment, James. I think, for a long time, Essendon's been a nice club with nice players who didn't have that desire for the contest. We've really developed in that area, James. Like, you look at blokes like Caldwell, like Setters. I think, Dylan Scheel has taken his game to another level, this year. And seeing the hustle and bustle of Stringer now that he's up and about, blokes who they cop a bit of hit, James. Even Archie Perkins, like, he stands up and tackle. He doesn't mind getting run down. Like, you saw with that running goal he kicked, James. He waited till the last possible moment to make sure he was right. He knew the Port player was going to hone him down as soon as he got rid of that footy, but he was holding on to that footy for the last possible second to steady himself, and he kicked the bloody goal. So I think, like, as damning those stats might sound, I do think there's real development going to happen here. But, going back to Brad Scott, he's told us straight from the start, it's not going to be linear. We are going to have ups and downs through games and through the season. So I think, plenty to work with, but I've got more confidence in Brad Scott that he will actually work on those things because he identifies them. And when you identify them publicly, you become, a lot more responsible, a lot more scrutinised for that. Because if he said, oh, we're not doing this, and then he continues to not do that, the media and the fans will come for him, because I'll say, well, you know what the problem is, why aren't you doing anything about it? So, I suppose that's just my take on those stats, Shane.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, isn't it? Stats are always what you make of them. Like, they're not the be-all and end-all, and, but they are factual, if you know what I mean. So they're true. But
stats don't lie.
Stats don't lie, but they're sometimes not relevant as well in what you're discussing. But I just thought I'd share that because I saw that on the Blitz and I was really interested in that and thought I'd share that. But why don't we have a break and we'll come back with By the Numbers. And you're listening to Don's Cast, and as always, we go by the numbers. And, mate, we start with Andy McGrath.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty tough gig for Andy McGrath, James. I think just the amount of ball that was getting down there, when we're already missing blokes like, Laverty and then Ridley, I thought he really had to do a mountain of work to try and stop the bleeding. And I just think he didn't really have a one-on-one matchup. He kind of had to plug a few different holes. I think he played a solid game. The 19 disposals, had a couple of tackles, and did run and carry for us quite a lot. He got the 500 metres gained throughout the course of the game, but I just thought it was a bit of a tough game for him, even though I thought he had a solid performance. What about you?
Yeah, I thought he played well. He was given the vice captaincy, which was, a big honour for him. Mm-hmm. And he was actually deep in the conversation to be actual captain, mate. Yeah. I have heard Brad Scott say that conversation for captain was surrounding between McGrath and Merritt.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think his leadership is a bit more noticeable this year.
Yep.
I think he's got confidence in that, and I think he had to be a bit of a general down back, especially after Ridley went.
Yeah.
His ball use is still an issue at times. Just his decision making he used the ball pretty well at 79%. So I thought it was a good game, and he could have been pressing for votes, but as you said, mate, he just didn't have a direct opponent. It kept changing, and I don't think he got continuity of who he was playing on. So yeah, Sam Draper, mate, we both gave votes. So should we move along?
Yep, move on.
Darcy Parrish is the same, and same too as Cole Langford. So this probably gets back to what Ricky was saying, mate, when we're going by the numbers, but we're kind of skipping over because we're already done the vote.
Yeah.
So, that's where I think we can adjust that next week. Jai Caldwell, mate, he had 17 disposals, 8 kicks, 9 handballs, 3 marks and 5 tackles. So I thought Jai played a pretty good game. And, it was nice to see him kick that nice goal.
Was, mate. He works bloody hard, does Jai Caldwell. He doesn't do the showy stuff, except for those couple of goals he kicked a few weeks ago. But he does a lot of grunt work, and I think he's a smart footballer that once he, gets a bit more opportunity in the midfield, we'll see him. I reckon we'll see him go to another level. It's just a great thing to see, though, that him continuing to get games, because you can see the talent he's got there and how hard he works. So I thought it was another solid game. Seeing those tackle numbers, it's just, you love to see it.
Yeah, and he's got really good hands. He's a good distributor of the footy, in tight. So that makes him, suited to clearances and so forth. I can just see him continuing to improve. Zach Merritt, we gave votes to as well, mate. So we move over to Ben Hobbs, and he kicked that nice goal as we talked about. And he goes in hard, mate, 5 tackles. And I know him and Horn Francis were to be at their best, niggling best. They both wanted to one-up each other. And so I like that in him too. He's got that little bit of tenaciousness in him.
That's it, like that real competitive spirit. And yes, he gave away a free, but you don't mind it when you see he's actually going hard at it. Like he's got a real bit of white line fever about him, which you love. So I loved his game. Yes, I think his ball use and decision making at times can be a bit scrappy, but his desire and want for the contest is always there. So I think it was a solid game from the young bloke.
Yeah, Dylan Shield, he was good in patches, mate. Like he's been playing, as they said, a lot more on the forward line, on outside of the clearances, which is a bit of a surprise because he was leading the league in clearances last year for a large period of it. So, that's obviously a different strategy to what Brad Scott has on how he's used. But, he had that tremendous bump on was it Butters? Really? Or was it Rosie? Sorry.
It was Butters.
Butters, yeah.
Yeah, the real beauty, yeah.
Yeah, it was great. Like, I thought it was, he got into ground and they got straight back up and, there was no penalty coming his way. It was a fair bump. But it was really good how he just, zeroed in on the footy and, he made a real impact there. And, look, he still found 19 disposals, 7 kicks, 12 handballs, 3 marks and 2 tackles. I always like to see Dylan having more kicks than handballs. Yeah. He's more giving him off this time.
Yeah. I think, he does impress me at times. That nice kick to Cole Langford that got him that goal. Yeah, it was really nice to see because certainly we've seen plenty of times just burst away with footy and not kick it to anyone's advantage, really. So it was great to see that that of his game. I think, he didn't have huge numbers of the footy, but he does crack in into the contest, Jane. So, I think he didn't star, not his greatest performance, but I think he was still solid on the day.
Yeah. Sam Wiedemann started the game well, mate. He kicked a couple of goals. He did go out of it, I thought.
Yeah.
He missed one on three-quarter time, I think it was.
Yeah.
That would have been nice. But yeah, he can take a good grab, and he was very good early, as I said. Maybe because the ball wasn't going down our forward line, as you think Port took over in the third, and so he's probably impacted by that. But yeah, I just thought he had a stronger first half than the second.
Yeah, he did, mate. Early days, I was thinking votes for the bloke. Yeah, kicked a couple of goals, had a goal assist, which is really good to see. Was taking some good marks up the ground, so really getting involved in the game. But as you say, he just sort of really went out of it. Mind you, as you said, James, we didn't really have control of the footy. We were kind of trying to stem the bleeding, more than trying to attack ourselves. So a bit hard for a forward when that's the way the momentum is shifted. But I still think he really does need to work on his contested work, contested marking, and even just getting more involved, physicality wise. I know that hasn't been his one wood, Jane. I think him having a more settled spot on the side will give him a lot more confidence. So, I'm not saying it'll be exactly the same as Peter Wright, but we saw that was Peter Wright's one of his development areas, and I'm hoping we can do the same with Weeds, give him that confidence to back himself, and give him I suppose more specific roles to bodies, opponents, and we've got blokes like Travis Cloak and Hurley down there, given instruction, and who better to learn from really than those blokes. So I think I'm going to back him in. I thought he had a solid game. I'm hoping he'll just get better in time.
Yeah, Will Setterfield, he's had quite a few weeks, mate, after a great start. Again, he tried hard on the day. He's fine on the footy. He found 18 disposals, 10 kicks, 8 handballs, 5 marks on the 4 tackles. He tries hard, but he's not always as influential as he was early in the year.
Yeah. I mean, I still think he's playing a solid role for us, but it's not as impactful as we have seen, particularly in those initial few weeks. I suppose he's playing a different role than we've seen. I do like his tackling in there. So again, he's another one where I'm just hoping more continuity. The club backing him for that position will give him greater confidence to have a bit more of an impact later on, because I reckon he's certainly got the talent and ability to do it.
Yeah. Now, Jordan Ridley, we know, copped that injury. And that really, really had an impact, not just on him, but on the team as well. And unfortunately, he'll miss this week against Brisbane under the protocols for the concussion. Yeah. And it was great to hear Brad say that there was no broken jaw or anything like that. It was just solely concussion, and as such, we'll have to miss next week, but should be fit for the Richmond game a week after.
Yeah, it was a shame to lose him. So hopefully he's gets fit over the next couple of weeks and gets his mind and body right, because we certainly need him against Richmond.
Yeah. Now, Archie Perkins kicked a couple of nice goals, mate. Just had the 13 disposals, but 4 tackles, which is great, because sometimes that's not a strength of his. And he's a strong player, but we wanted to see more of that. So it was great to see him lift that rating. And, I'd like to see him get a bit more of the footy. He's just going to keep getting better, this kid. And, I think he's going to be a key player for us, in the coming years.
Yeah, definitely, James. That's his want for the contest. His poise when he's got the footy in hand to hit a target, or to take that little bit of extra time to, to run in and kick the goal, is all the markings of a star player in future. I thought he had a pretty good game. Quite good opponent in Port. So, I'm loving his development this year.
Nick Hind, he tried hard, mate. I look at it, he only had the 11 disposals as an attacking defender, as he usually is. But I thought he focused on the defensive side a lot more than he usually does. You could see really at an intercepted or impacted contests by, you know, being more watchful of his opponent, which isn't always been a strength of his. And as it was when we wanted to win the game in the last quarter, he was actually starting to provide a bit of run. So I actually don't mind Nick Hind in the side. I know some people debate that, but yeah, I think he's a perfect sub at times as well, just because of what he can generate late in games. But I actually didn't mind Nick's game, and you know, I hope he holds his spot.
Yeah, I mean, this is a kind of a different one for mine, because I agree exactly what you said there, Jamie. He focused a lot more on defense. And you could see a number of times where he used his dash to, you know, almost sort of sneak up on the Port players and get a fist in, to try and get it out. I still think defensively he does get found out, particularly in the air. And unfortunately, he wasn't able to use his run and dash as effectively as we've seen it in the past. Nor he's he can be a pretty elite user of the ball, I reckon, James. I've certainly seen him cut up sides in the past. Whether that's a reflection of his standard game is, I suppose, a different matter. But I think, he can have a real impact for us. I still think he's spotting the sides a bit iffy, because he's got a lot to work on. But I thought for the game, he definitely busted the gut. So I think he had a solid game overall.
Yeah. Dyson Heppel, he came back into the side. And I actually thought he took some really important marks and tried his hardest down back. And yeah, I don't think that's his best position as a halfback flanker, sorry. But I thought on the day he's quite serviceable and earned his spot.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, James. I thought he was pretty solid, particularly that the third and fourth quarters. Like, there were a couple of times where he just used his footy smarts to get in around the footy. I do think his decision making with the ball is still very slow sometimes. Relents him to our momentum. His lack of a right foot at times kind of means that he's handballed to blokes in a pretty tough position. But mind you, he generally does make smart decisions with ball in hand, or at least he has the last few weeks, Jane. So I thought he played a solid game overall.
Jake Stringer, we gave votes to, mate, so we'll move on. Mm-hmm. Mason Redmond, he had 21 disposals, would you believe? Surprising, I guess the ball was coming down there a lot. 14 kicks, 7
a.m. a lot of kickouts, because kicked 20 points or so. That might have padded out the stats a bit.
Yeah, 5 marks, which is kind of low for him, considering he's great intercepted mark. But just the one tackle, and there's a couple of times I thought he was a bit slow to react. And whether he saw or whatever that was, he didn't see himself at times, especially going into the contest.
Yeah, I'm a bit sort of lukewarm on his game, Jim. Like, I think overall he was effective, but I do sort of just question whether he's 100% right, Jim. We didn't get his normal sort of run and dash. I didn't think he was using the ball as dangerously as he has in the past. And he only had the 70% time on ground, which tells me that he's not 100% fit. He's just sort of riding out the game, as best as he could. And I think he did play a solid game overall, but just not to the level that we know he can get to. And I guess, when you see that, in light of his recent comments, Jamie, and I'm hoping it's just, to beef up the contract a bit. He said he'd consider. I forget the exact words, Jane, but he'd have a look around.
Consider, he wouldn't put out a question that he could return to Adelaide you know, or his home state. Mind you, he was also very complimentary about Brad Scott and his time at Essendon currently. So I don't think it's going to be immediate. I think he'll sign on with us. I think he's just leaving that open, you know, in the latter part of his career. But, yeah, as you said, it's not always great to hear your players kind of saying that, but I think we have to be aware, like, player loyalty is really no longer what it used to be. It's all about, you know, their best opportunity and, you know, it's kind of weighted to the players now. So, yeah, they do have a lot more control on where they go. So I guess we've got to get used to that kind of talk. And I guess we're having the same with Darcy Parrish, you know, basically saying, oh, I'll make a decision near the end. Whereas back in the day where you were loyal, that wasn't a question. It was just when you were going to sign. Now it's like I'm surveying. I'll see what I think of the club and if I think that matches my future. Yeah, certainly the players have a lot more say on or their perception can certainly be a deciding factor on where they play their footy.
Yeah, definitely. Let's hope he signs on. Another solid game from Redders.
Now, Jake Kelly, I thought he had too much of the footy. And it sounds funny to say, but Jake is the ball pretty slow at times, I think. And he's kind of a saving mark and saving kind of kick out of the back line. You really don't want him controlling the play or setting up play. I don't think that's his strength. And I think that, whilst he defended as best he could, I don't always like to see the ball in his hands that often.
Agree with that. And again, he's another one who really slows the play down at times. But mind you, when it sort of helped him out by giving heaps of options to kick to. So I think he played his role. He played a solid game. But agree with you, Jane. We're just getting higher disposal numbers. He does sort of worry me with his disposal at times. But geez, he goes hard at the footy, James. So love to see that.
Yeah, he's a great competitor. Brandon Thatcher, mate, I actually liked his game. Considering how tough a week he had against Hawkins, he's going up against a big monster in Dixon. And, you know, I thought he contained him really well. And Dixon got a couple of goals in the end and possibly could have had more. You know, missed a few shots. But I really liked Zerk's game, and I actually even considered him a vote.
Yeah, and I can see why, Jane, especially because he fought it out right till the end. Like, it would have been easy, you know, when Dixon kicked those couple of goals to drop your head and think sort of, woe is me. But he doesn't do that, Zerk. He keeps at it. And he does have a knack to just get a fist in when he needs it. And, I think he can show signs of being quite a smart footballer, like knowing when to leave your man and go for the ball and, you know, get a fist in or, you know, intercept mark. I think he played a solid game as tough an opponent as it was on the day, particularly when we were getting smashed in the midfield and the ball was coming down thick and fast. He really had his work cut out for him. So, yeah, I'd agree with you, James. I thought it was a solid game overall from Zerk. And, yeah, you could see why people would consider him for a vote.
Yeah, Alwyn Davey Jr., mate, I know we're trying to pump games into this kid, but at times he's almost a liability in terms of, that sounds very harsh, but there's long periods in a game you don't see him. And when he does get the footy, he hasn't got the nous yet because he hasn't played enough footy he's quick to give it off, if you know what I mean. Like, sometimes the better decision is to take a run and use your assets. I think he's still in that stage of, I've got to earn my spot and I want to, give it off to senior players and so forth. And whereas once he gets some confidence, he'll be making better decisions. So I kind of get the theory that you want to get games into this guy, and we're just going to have to, you know, watch this as a teething period. But there's times where you just don't see him.
Yeah, I can see exactly what you're saying, Jamie. I agree, and I think really, yeah, my thoughts are that, like, he's got the skills and ability. Like, that's not a question. But he does need to work on his contested work. And I think the best way of doing that, Jane, would probably be in the VFL. I think particularly if you got him to, say, like, go for a run through the midfield at VFL level, amongst the sort of, crunch and tumble, with some senior bodies out there, Jane, there's some big boys in the VFL. So it's not like it gets, a whole lot easier at VFL level. But, I think in the forward pocket, where you're, I suppose your role is just to, chase, harass, I didn't think he did that to his best ability, James. I think he there was a few contests, James, where I thought he could have, not straight line, but, could have gone for the tackle, and he ran around where, you really need to be, if you're pressuring, harassing properly, as we saw McDonald, Tip and Woody do on a number of occasions, you really need to be going for the man. So they don't think it's an easy thing to get out of our 50. Like, you want to lock it in there. And I think he does need to work on that side of his game. So I think for mine, he had a pretty average game, James. As you said, he was very quiet, really. We need a bit more from him going forward. And I think, just a bit of development in the VFL would do him the world of good.
Yeah. Now, Andrew Phillips, mate, he held his spot after two games where he didn't take a mark.
Mm-hmm.
And he took some marks in the last half of this game.
Yep.
Had none to half time again. So, collectively, you think of, that's 10 quarters without a mark for a ruckman, is strange, but he ended up with three on the day, including that one where he had a shot at goal.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he played better. He certainly put his body on the line a few times and had an impact in contests, which is a strength of his. I don't know. Like, I can see why Brad's playing him for a senior body to assist Drapes, but I think eventually we're going to have to start to look at Nick Bryan if you want to play the second ruck, because Nick Bryan's played two very good games in the VFL. Mm-hmm. And he deserves to be rewarded at some stage. And look, he's not a senior body as Andrew Phillips. So I can kind of see why the decision is to go with Phillips at the moment. But we don't want to see Nick Bryan leave the club in search of greater opportunity.
Yeah.
When it's a real need of ours to have that second ruckman.
Yeah, definitely, James. I kind of think, he had his moments, Phillips. We do need a bit more from him. So I think, whether it's time now for young Bryan to get his crack, we do need to blood this bloke. We need to keep him invested in the footy club and know that, we back him just as we want him to, do his service for us. I'm sure he's sitting there on the sidelines going, what do I need to do to get a game around here? I think, for Phillips, I would say an average game overall, James. It does well in the hit-outs, but not a lot around the ground on the day. I guess that's how I saw it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Nick Martin, it's a funny game, mate. He still had 19 disposals, 8 kicks, 11 handballs, 3 marks and 2 tackles. And that 50 metres paid against him was very harsh.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe that one. But, here's another one. He was had a really quiet second half, I thought. Much more impactful in the first.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's kind of been a trend this year, James. Like, he'll play some games where you think, geez, he's such a smooth mover. But I think it's kind of reflected in our votes, James. Like, He's, I think he's played solid all games, but he's only racked up the 11 Doncaster medal votes up to this stage of the season. You think for his talent, the way he can lace out blokes, it shows that, yes, he has impacts at times of the game, but he does seem to fade out. And, yeah, yes, he's a young player. It's only his second season of AFL footy. He's only had one pre-season. So he's doing well, and you can see he's going to be a real player. So his next stage of development will just be impacting, throughout the game. So for all four quarters, that'll be his next challenge. So I think he played an okay game. I just hope he continues to build from here.
And Anthony McDonald, Tip Moody. I thought this is a really good game for him. From where he's come from anyway.
Yeah.
Look, he kicked the early goal, which was great. But four tackles, and he's certainly trying to have an impact. And, I really hope he keeps getting played, because he's providing a lot more than, obviously, Alwyn at this stage.
Mm-hmm.
So I really hope that Tipper is still, really cheered on to keep playing in the seniors, and hopefully they'll get his body in best preparation to have an impact later in the season.
Yeah, definitely, James. I really liked his game. The only thing that I just wish he wasn't as unselfish as he is. Like that one where he's running inside 50, he's about 40 out. I would have loved to see him just dob it. He's got the talent to do it. And we saw that one. We coughed it up like an easy goal opportunity.
Yeah,
just went begging.
He tried to hit Stringer.
Yeah,
but kind of because he's. Foot was on a weird angle in a way to get that kick. It kind of squibbed it and went along the ground.
Yeah, so like you lose those ones, and they're the ones that can shut the Port fans up. But aside from that, like his tackling work was great, and there was a number of tackles where he should have been rewarded, but it wasn't. But I just love the endeavour that he goes at him, and he's a hard body. His running levels. If you compared him to where he was when he got back to the club, leaps and bounds, James. Well done to Tipper for getting to this stage, and hopefully he continues to build from here.
Now, Jai Menzies was our sub, he did kick a goal, it should be said, in the goal square. I was a bit disappointed with his impact anyway. He, for the amount of time he was, in the game, to have three disposals, one kick, two handballs, and that one kick was a goal, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very much a Joe de Goose kind of handball receive.
Mm-hmm.
Expect more out of our sub than that, especially when you're activated so early in the game.
Yeah, absolutely, James. And I think, again, like we've said it a few times with John Menzies this year, like the start of the year, he was playing really well. But against more experienced sides with harder bodies, I think he has seemed a bit of a deer in the headlights at times, Jane. Doesn't particularly love the hard stuff. So that's an area of his game that he needs to develop. Again, young player, came through mid-season last year. I think he's got quite a nous for the game, so I've got no problems with his trajectory. But he's another one, I think, a bit of work at VFL level, particularly the more contested work, would do him a world of good. A very average game from Jai Menzies, but we know he's capable of much greater than that. So I think he'll only develop from here.
All right, mate. Well, that's all the players. So we've got Brisbane this week, up in Brisbane. Another tough game. Now, Sam Durham will return. Obviously, he's had that suspension week out.
Yep.
There's a fair chance Baldwin will play, I'd imagine. And other players that played well in the VFL were players like, I think D'Ambrosio played quite a good game. He had a lot more of the footy. So he's put his hand up again. Any other players you'd like to see come in?
It's a funny one. I wouldn't mind having a look at Brett Montgomery, James. As a particularly with Ridley out, as that sort of intercepting type back. I'm trying to think of who else we've got to play that role. They're pretty few and far between. I mean, I think he'd relish the opportunity. It'd be good to have a look at him at AFL level. So that's one I'd be looking to see.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. And I guess the other player that I think he kicked a couple of goals on the weekend, Tex Wanganeen. Considering we've been giving games to Alwyn, look, he's starting games well again, Tex, but not having an impact in the second half of games. So that's probably what's holding him back. But yeah, it'd almost be time to have a look at him as well, considering we're given some games to Menzies and Davey. I wouldn't mind having a look at Tex up there as well.
Yeah, not a bad one. Like he's a funny one because he, like when he's got the ball, like he just looks a player, Jane. But sometimes in front of the sticks, it's like he gets too excited and either kicks it too far and doesn't get it accurate or otherwise just mistimes his kick. But I think he shows a lot of smart. So yeah, not a bad one. I'm not sure if he'd be quite up for it as of yet. But I guess we'll wait and see for selection night.
And just lastly, Patrick Boss. We've all heard about him, mate. He's actually had a quieter fortnight. So a bit unfortunate, really. Like I don't think he kicked any goals on the weekend again. He's finding a bit more tougher. He's probably getting more attention. So I think, if he'd struck his form a little bit differently, I think he'd be in the conversation to play as well. It'd be interesting to see if we get a look at Pat Boss this year or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, this bloke is developing his game. Still only, 19 years old or something, James. Like, he's a huge lump of a kid. So, I'm sure the coaches are getting into him. Again, you got like the likes of Cloak and Hurley to get in his ear, teach him how to a bit more of the finer things of the game. So I think he's in good hands to develop well.
Yeah. And the other player hoping to get into the side, mate, would be Snelling. And Will Snelling will definitely be putting his hand up for selection. So there's a few players to think about anyway going into Brisbane.
Yeah.
But until next week, mate, let's go Bombers.
Go Dons.